Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing What If, Season 1, Episode 3, What If the World Lost Its Mightiest Heroes? All that and more of this that we have no control over.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
And joining us for our What If reaction cast, Jay, Scotty, St. Clair, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great, doing great. Thanks for having me back. I'm excited to discuss what I find to be the most exciting entry of What If yet.
Really?
Yeah, interesting. I would agree. You know, it's funny, we did our What If We What If episode where we what if'd.
What if'd.
And
I think I follow what you're trying to say there.
Yeah, we made up our own versions of What If, and like,
right.
This one danced really close to a couple of ours, because a couple of ours were like, what if they lost the Battle of New York, Dylan's, and then mine was, spoiler alert, we're getting into this episode, the entire time, you know, they had this mystery of what's going on, you know, and sure. My what if had been, what if Black Widow is Hydra? Which I knew wasn't the case here, but I thought half the time, what if Coulson was Hydra was what we were getting.
Ooh.
Because like Coulson happened to be in all the places and they talked about sending her to Pierce. So I was like, are they doing the Hydra thing where Hydra destroys the Avengers and if Coulson was part of it? That's what I thought was going on for a good chunk of time.
You know good and well Coulson wouldn't do that. He is such a fanboy of Steve Rogers.
Yeah, he's too much a lover of Steve. Which... We have finally confirmed they're not all in the same universe. First time. Our first piece of information was when he uncovers the shield and it's the Captain America shield. That's the first time that these three episodes couldn't have existed in the same universe.
Good catch.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I figured it was all going to be separate universes, because you know multiverse is a thing.
We just had that question a bunch from listeners, so I've been kind of keeping an eye on like, are there any problems, and so far there was nothing.
But we lost all of the six OG Avengers now, right?
Yeah,
they're all dead, they're all in coffins. What if these all turn into zombies?
Good call.
And this becomes the zombie verse.
Well, then something would have to happen to Steve, because we know in the promotional material, they've been using that zombie cap quite a bit.
Yep. So Steve goes to fight him and gets turned.
Right. Ooh. Well, if the first five Avengers are all zombies, those are some pretty powerful zombies, you know?
It really is.
But yeah, it's confirmed it's all different universes. We already knew from promotional stuff that the director said that there's four different versions of T'Challa. So like, we know that those are going to be four different universes, at least unless they're lying to us, which I don't mind, as we all know. Yeah.
I think you have, you've asked them to do that a couple of times.
Many times.
Per week. For a while. So Scoots, you said, I keep calling you that. So Scotty, you said that this was, you feel is the most interesting episode entry into the What If franchise. I'm not sure I agree.
Okay.
Just this episode for me personally was kind of like, it was too tongue in cheek, I guess.
Okay. Interesting.
Because every, how do I put it? Like, there were so many references to the original Avengers. All the lines were said over again, but in a different context. And
sure.
Like, the lines from the original, not even just the original Avengers, but like the Phase 1, just in general.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It felt like those lines kept getting reused over and over and over and over and over again. And I don't like that so much. Like, it was nice to have a callback, but like, you're showing me the characters on screen already. That's the callback. Like, I don't need you to say the lines again. I'm freaking out that Thor is on screen and everybody's calling him beautiful. Like, that's hilarious.
I like that, but
I kind of disagree with you, Jeff. Like, what I loved about this is that they showed that, like, this is the same. Like, the certain lines are the same, but what was cool is they showed this same meeting of Tony Stark, but instead of being from Tony Stark's perspective, it's from inside the diner with Nat and Fury talking. So we got this
inside
conversation.
The car.
Oh, right, right. Inside the car. Yeah. So we got this conversation that, like, probably happened in the prime timeline. Like, that's probably the same conversation because it's before he died. So, like, we got to see this part of the scene that we never saw before. And the same thing with, like, Barton and Fury are talking about, talking over the hammer, and they're like, as they're waiting on Thor, it's like, that's a scene that probably happened in the original, Thor movie, but
false.
Just slightly different.
Fury was never there.
Oh, was Fury never there?
Fury was never there.
He was not.
Oh, okay. He's there because,
like, those things
Stark
of Fury. Well, those things of like Fury and Barton talking over the hammer, I like that. I like things like that where, because, you know, this thing happened where Tony died, well, that puts Fury more over here, and like
right.
He's more invested in what's going on
here. He can focus somewhere else.
Right. I like those things. That was the cool part about it. It's just, it felt like there was too much winking at the audience with the lines.
Okay. Interesting.
To really, like, it kept taking me out of it.
See, to me, so, that just meant, like, this is the universe, and there's just starting to fracture. It's still the same, but a little different.
Yeah, that gives me a little bit of clarity. I was going to ask to you to specify on some of the lines if it was the ones that were beat for beat from those movies that we saw. Like, they highlighted Iron Man 2, The Incredible Hulk, and Thor, and the fact that those all took place within the same week. So I really appreciated the fact that these kind of lesser appreciated phase one movies got kind of celebrated. But you talk about, like, the repetition of lines, and that was actually one of my favorite things about the episode, is, like, a lot of these lines we've heard over and over and over again and become endeared to, they were recontextualized. So, like, I jotted a couple of them down. Like, one of my favorites is when, you know, the first time when Coulson and Fury are standing over Thor, and they, you know, they mention the fact that he smells like lavender when he's rotting, which is hilarious. But
yeah.
Coulson says, "We don't know what the connective tissue is unless you have any ideas." And then Fury says, "There was an idea." And just hearing that line, like, that is mm-hmm. definitely the winking and nodding you're talking about. But I loved it. I ate it all up.
I love that line.
He had already said there was an idea at least two other times in the episode by that point.
Right.
He never said it the exact same way, though.
He did.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah, he said it to Nat in the car on the way to get Tony out of the donut. It's like,
right.
There was an idea. And Nat's like, yeah, I get it.
Okay.
Well, see, that's what I liked. It's like the different context, that line, like, it was played for humor with Nat because she's like, yeah, I know, I've heard the speech. And then, like, for later when he says, do you have any ideas? And he's like, there was an idea. And it's like, right. He doesn't communicate that to Coulson, what he's even talking about. It's just like, it's almost like he's been defeated, you know? The Avengers have been defeated. I loved that.
Coulson knows, because he told Coulson specifically, like, I wrote the speech! I know!
Exactly. I was going to say, it all comes full circle.
Like, that's the only thing that kind of made it, like, it brought it back to being okay, and not, like, aggravating. I like that line being reused, because it's Fury going with his speech over and over again. He's like, I haven't been able to say it. I haven't been able to get it out to any of these heroes to try to pull them into the thing. Like, he's just practicing it over and over again. And, like, that's fine. But, like, there, when, like, for instance, when the doors opened in the Culver University, closet, and Banner comes out, and he's like, you know, there's no need for violence, 'cause that's not really going to work out for everybody. I'm like, oh, right. God. Like, I remember that line. Yes, I know. He said that but, to Nat in the beginning of OG Avengers. Like, I get it. It felt out of place. I don't know.
Hmm.
Maybe I'm too attached. Maybe I'm too attached to the lines in their original context.
Right.
I'm like, I'm one of those toxic Star Wars fanboys now where I'm like, I'm too attached to the original canon. I can't let it be something else. I don't know.
That's what's great about What If.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's wonderful. I didn't have any problems with any of that. And I agree with Jay Scotty. I think this is one of the coolest uses of the What If show so far.
Jessica Mai in the chat said, when Natasha was in the transport van, how great would it have been for her to say, before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
I thought that was going to happen.
They set it up perfectly.
That would have been hilarious.
They set it up perfectly.
They did.
That would have been hilarious if it had her, if it had been her saying it instead of Cap and like the same situation.
I thought she was going to say it for a second, but if she had said it, I would have had a real problem with it because that's not who Black Widow is. Like, Black Widow is, you underestimate me so I can destroy you. Like, that's like, she uses her ability to be underestimated against her enemies. And like, so if she's sitting with a group of that many men and she says, anyone want to get out? That's just not who she, that's not how she plays those types of fights, generally speaking. And even Rumlow says like, yeah, she can only punch people because they don't think she can or something like that.
Yeah. Which is, they're not expecting it,
which is not the case, but also it is part of her shtick.
On somebody's face.
you make a strong argument because I really did want to hear that line, but hearing you break it down like that, I mean, it's pretty apt considering you are writing an album or have written an album on the character, right?
Yes, I have been thinking a lot about that character. And it is one of the things that, you know, it ties her appearance in Avengers is, well, her first appearance in Avengers is letting that Russian guy who's interrogating her underestimate her. And then her big hero moment in Avengers is when she convinces Loki to underestimate her. And then like the big ending of Black Widow is her getting the big guy to underestimate her. Like that's
definitely
using their own biases against them to be able to leverage her power. And I love that about her character. So if she had been like, I don't know, I like this. She's like kind of playing coy. She's almost being flirtatious. She's like, how about we get some music going in here, guys? Eh? Yeah. Like, don't you think I'm kind of a cool girl you want to hang out with, everybody? And then just kicking all their butts.
Kicking all the ass.
I like there's a shot of a younger SHIELD agent that like, it cuts to his face and he looks almost affected. Like she's like, anybody want to put some music on? Huh? And it cuts to like a younger SHIELD agent, not as steely. And he's like,
okay.
He's like kind of smirks a little bit and then goes, no, I must like reserve myself. And so like, that's her getting under the skin of the men around her. And then she goes in to the physical fight, you know?
Okay. Cool. Cool.
I still would have liked it if she said it.
No, I do too. I thought for sure she was going to. It felt very similar in that scene. I was like, is she going to do it?
Yeah.
But no.
Now we've got the question, like in this verse, in the verse that has been presented to us, since we are out Thor, Tony, Hulk, you know, et cetera, since we're out the five original sans Cap.
Right.
And we've got Captain Marvel that just showed up. You know, where's the fight? What does that say, or what does that spell, I guess, for Hydra in their takeover or in their attempted coup? Like, what's going to happen now? Are they going to target Captain Marvel and she's just going to be like, like just destroy the ships like it's nothing? That's going to play the Winter Soldier very differently.
For sure.
The thing we know about Hydra is that you cut off one head, two more grow in its place. So I imagine they would find a way to become infiltrated into Loki's forces once he initiates his takeover.
Oh, God. I had entirely forgotten about that.
Forgot that Loki took over at the end?
Yeah, I forgot that Loki was just like, everybody decided to be under my banner. And then it like shows all of his ships and it's like, oh, because you forced them to. Good. Right. Good.
You know where my mind immediately went? I thought, what about Wakanda? Because like Wakanda would not willingly subject. And then I thought about it. This takes place back in 2010, 2012, which we know the events of Civil War. That is when Wakanda first like decided to like make those efforts to become integrated into the modern world for the first time. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I imagine Black Panther would still rise up.
I still feel like too, we know that Kraglin's ship or whatever could like detect all the vibranium. I've got to imagine the Asgardians can like detect all that vibranium.
Oh,
right.
Doubt,
and then they'll like go there, even if they don't know it's Wakanda, like they'll find Wakanda. I feel like,
feeds back into what me and Jeff were saying about that first episode with Captain Carter. We want to see all the what ifs of every single scene that we got.
We got to go down all the rabbit holes. I need the whole universe. Like, give it to me all.
we know they've already said they're going to do a Captain Carter sequel in the right. season two. So, like, who's to say they won't do more sequels?
Yeah.
I would almost be up for an entire run of sequels. Like, do an entire season two that's a sequel to every episode. Like, I would down with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, you know, you could do, or, you know, ones that people are interested in, do the sequels, but also introduce new ideas too. I love this show. I love this concept.
We couldn't have an episode two sequel.
Yeah, right.
Because T'Challa.
That's true. Because Chadwick has passed.
No, we explore what happens to Peter.
Yeah, exactly. Explore what happens to Ego and Quill in the other side of the world.
And Zardu Hasselfrau.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Zardu Hasselfrau.
Anyway, so this episode, I felt like it jumped around a lot. You know, more so than the other ones.
It's significantly shorter, so it just feels, and it's packing three movies into one What If. So
yeah,
true.
Yeah. Like, holy crap, let's get going. You know, we're going. It's it was quick.
It was. Yeah. I again still loved it, but
honestly, I kind of needed like a prequel of this one though. Like, I need a prequel to show me why Hope Van Dyne joined S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
I love that they kept that a secret till the end. Like, this was a mystery, unlike the others.
Exactly.
The first one was this, like, very straightforward adventure story with Captain Carter. The second was a heist movie where they're, like, they're stealing this stuff from the collector. And it's even, like, they double back and triple cross. Like, it's a heist movie. And this is a mystery
classic
story.
Star-Lord.
This is a mystery story. Waits till the very end to reveal. And the reveal is, what is the decision that caused this split universe? The other two episodes have started with Uatu going, here's the decision. And this one, we don't get to know until the end that it's the fact that Hope joined S.H.I.E.L.D. after her mother's death, kind of in response to her mother's death.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I love the most about the episode. In addition to this being like the first time we talked about promotional material beforehand, kind of giving some things away, this is the first one that I went into not knowing what the scenario was going to be at all. And it ended up being a double mystery. Not only is it this whodunit murder mystery, but it is just like you said, they waited to hold off the question. So the whole time, we were presented with what if the Earth's Mightiest Heroes fell, but it really was, like you said, it is what if Hope Van Dyne decided to become a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent and her father, Hank Pym, had not been quite as protective as he was. Like, what is the fallout of that? And whew, it was gripping, man.
Yeah.
Michael Douglas with those wiry eyebrows.
Right. Ooh. And that was his voice, correct?
That was absolutely his voice. Yeah.
It was Michael Douglas. Yeah.
That's so good.
The amount of emotion that man can put on a line and just, he's so good. He's such a good actor.
Just like, and just having him be like so unhinged and like, you know, really crazy and wanting to destroy. And really, that's not the first time Hank Pym's been turned into a villain in any Marvel universe. But like, I love seeing it on screen with these actors that we know and love. Like, Michael Douglas actually getting to read those lines where he's just full on going villain. Like, that was fun, man.
Yeah, it was.
My heart really broke for him. I mean, initially, they really set him up to be this kind of like cackling, almost laughable villain a little bit. But when you start to see like that heartbreak, and even when he starts to get manipulated by Loki / Nick Fury, and they're laughing at him, and he's just down there confused. I got echoes of like Spider-Man when he's being manipulated by Mysterio. Like, I really feel for him there at the end. And then he kind of has like that, it's not a full redemption, but he says, you know, if you really did care for Hope, then honor her. And it's like he does still have a little bit of trust and fury. It's like if you say what you mean and you cared about her, then honor her. So I have no idea what the Asgardians are going to do to him.
Yeah. It disappoints me, though, that Hope was not honored, at least to his satisfaction.
True.
Because, you know, if he's doing all of this to kill the Avengers, then, like, there's something went sideways. And I feel like, I don't know, I feel like Hope would be more honored, but that's like, I'm biased in favor of the Hope that I know, which is from Ant-Man and the Wasp and the, you know, the first Ant-Man movie. So like, I didn't know her you know, whenever she went to go and be an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., I didn't know her then. And again, I need a prologue to this so that I can know her. Cut the check, Marvel. You're welcome.
Yeah, I would love to know more. But I also just love this as a standalone episode, and like it being the mystery that it is just super, super fun. And yeah. I did not expect this to end with Loki winning. I don't know why. I don't know why I didn't expect when I saw Loki show up that this was the episode where he takes over the UN and everything. Because I guess I thought that UN takeover wouldn't be how an episode would end. It would be like the middle, and then there would be an arc of how to stop him. But this is like a great way to end this. This is like kind of like an Empire Strikes Back moment, like that cliffhanger ending.
Well, yeah, there was nobody to stop him. The people that did stop him originally weren't there to do it.
Yeah.
So, of course he was just going to walk into it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But now Captain Marvel's going to show up and bash his face in.
Yeah, and we talked about that whole line about it. There was an idea, and that's what really gets driven home there at the end. Like, that's what Nick Fury says. That's what the Avengers are at the end of the day. They're that idea that when the hour gets the darkest, like, we will look for and we will find those heroes that will rise and face that challenge, which at the end of the day, that's what the MCU is all about.
Well, you bring up a great point. Like, we were talking earlier about that, whether that there was an idea line was good or not, and whether it would, like... But the thing is, they're introducing that and they're driving it home. So at the end, he can make that broader point. Like they use it as sort of the trope, and then they use it as this sort of defeated line where he's like, there was an idea, and it's like, it's over. And then at the end, he talks about how it is an idea, and that's why it persists. And that's really beautiful.
What are ideas, but themes persisting? No. That could have been executed better. I'm sorry.
That could have.
I'll see myself out.
That's a great place to end it.
I need my redemption.
A couple of my favorite lines was things like, it's an accurate description, sir. He's gorgeous.
Yeah. He smells like lavender.
Coulson stole the show here, which is one of the reasons I thought he might be the key at the end. I thought he might be the Hydra agent. And I was like watching, I was like, wait, someone that they even said someone on the inside knows what's going on. And I was
he
like,
still
looking
could
for
be
it.
Though. He sure. still could be.
Sure.
Because S.H.I.E.L.D. is still around and the Asgardians are in charge. Somebody has to rise up against the Asgardians. Might as well be Hydra. Save us all.
Yeah, that's exactly that was my story.
One thing I wanted to bring up. I noticed in this episode when we got a lot of scene transitions, we actually saw Uatu like on the skyline and the horizon.
Oh, yes.
I think that's the first time this has started to happen. So I think it's kind of almost leading credence to that fact that he may start to get more involved, which is really cool.
That shot of him over the desert with the car.
Yeah.
That was like
it was amazing.
It was an amazing shot. It was almost as if it were a like indie film. Like the way it was framed and stuff.
Yeah.
And then they also had him above the graveyard as the camera panned down to Hope's grave.
Yeah, in San Francisco, right? Yeah, with the fog. Yeah.
It's really cool.
Like, did that shot give you celestial vibes, like the golden celestial vibes from Eternals?
It did. I guess I did not notice it. But yeah, like being in San Francisco and like a big dude standing there.
Well, it was like it was a park under the Golden Gate Bridge,
right?
Which is like giant figures in the comic, right there.
In the comic book we covered on the Eternals for the patrons a while back. That's exactly what happens. There's a celestial standing in that Golden Gate Park. So yeah, that could have been a reference. I like that. Of course, they live in San Fran. That makes sense. A line I also really liked is when Loki asked him to kneel. He's like, we don't really do that
here. We don't do that here.
Which is exactly what T'Challa said.
Yeah.
Right.
That was wonderful. But from the opposite perspective, like the king saying, we don't do that here. And then Nick Fury's like, we don't really do that here. Not in America.
See, that was a good reuse of the line.
Agreed.
I like that in that it was a different character who got to say the line in a context that made sense. And it felt like... Like, that one didn't feel out of place. I think it was just how the other ones felt forced.
Yeah.
And maybe, I don't know, maybe it was the voice actors, I don't know. Okay. Something about them was off for me.
Okay, yeah, Jeff, if you like that one, what did you think about this one from Natasha? Move or I'll make you move.
Ooh, that was what the Dora Milaje member said. Was that Io?
Correct, in Civil War.
Yeah, in Civil War says it to her. Right?
Yeah. Correct, in Civil War. She got to use the line this time around.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even notice it on that one. God!
I'm struggling to remember who she said it to, but I wrote it down.
Okay. That's super fun.
Fairly early in the
episode. She says it to Betty Brant. Isn't that her name?
Nope.
No, Betty Ross. Betty Brant's from what comic book?
Spider-Man.
Thank you. Gosh. Too many
Bettys.
I really liked the... I think she says Space Vikings. Is that what she calls them?
That's what Fury calls them.
I love it so much.
Show off.
He's like, what? I'm facing three tanks, four snipers, and a battalion of men. What about you? And he's like, Space Vikings. And she says, show off.
Yeah. And I right love after Coulson's that, password.
Yes. Steve, I heart Steve. _
0704.
0704.
Oh, God. That's right. That's his birthday.
Independence Day.
Yep.
That's good. That's real good. I didn't even notice the number.
I got to say, William Hurt, his features lend surprisingly well to this animation style. Like, he cut, like, a nice figure. I was like, that is very clearly William Hurt.
Nice. Yeah. I feel like everybody looked like everybody. I didn't think ScarJo looked like ScarJo in this episode.
Well, she changes looks so often.
Agreed. I just didn't think her features looked as much like ScarJo as the other characters did.
Bruce Banner was hit or miss for me. There were some times where he was really evoking Ruffalo, and then other times I thought it was kind of a little weird.
Interesting. But I thought he was really Ruffalo-y.
That's the thing, though. Like, the character at that point was still Norton.
Right.
Which was a weird but interesting choice.
Yeah. So, I don't... It felt weird, I guess, to hear Ruffalo's voice coming out of a Norton time frame Hulk or Banner,
right,
I guess.
Right.
It was definitely like a surprise when he walked out of the closet. I wasn't sure which one they were going to go with. I'm not too surprised because it makes more sense for them to stick with the one Hulk we know.
Stick with the one that we have been using since 2012.
Yeah. They probably don't even have rights to Edward Norton's appearance.
Yeah,
probably.
And that's the thing that I wondered when I thought ScarJo looked different. I thought that Black Widow did not look like ScarJo. I was wondering if they did not get rights to her appearance. Because that's something that can happen with animated versions. They have to be slightly different, or if you do video games of characters, they often will be slightly different. It doesn't look like Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man. It looks like, you know, he's still a guy with brown hair, but it'll be like a little bit different white guy with brown hair.
Right.
A little bit different white guy with brown hair.
I wrote down Hulk's death was absolutely brutal. And I also don't even understand how he died. Like, it was really gross and scary. I didn't like it.
Hank threw one of the enlarging discs at his heart.
Oh, right. Is that what happened?
Yeah. He was in his bloodstream and threw an enlarging disc at his heart.
I saw him throw something through his heart. I did not see that's what happened. Oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah,
I am not happy about that.
I'll probably get some flack for this one, but I thought Hulk splat.
Oh, Hulk explode. Yeah. I don't like it at all.
It was rough. It was rough, though.
Until next time, true believers.
I have to mention the little bit of time where we thought Fury was taking on Hank Pym by himself. When he just slaps him out of the air.
He punches him and smacks him down, flips over him.
The first time
the flip over him got me.
Yeah, exactly. When the flip over happened, I was like, okay, it's Loki. For sure it's Loki. Oh, okay. when he slapped him, I was like, okay, that could have been a lucky shot. Like, you get one, you know, like one lucky, you batted the Ant-Man away. Or right. I guess is he Yellow Jacket at this point? He's in like a Yellow Jacket.
Yellow Jacket. Yeah.
Evoking suit. Yeah. So he smacks down and I was like, okay, that a human could do that once. And then he punches him and does something else. I'm like, Nope, that's not a human. That's not Fury.
Scotty, do you think that Hank being Yellow Jacket in that moment or in this episode is kind of a callback to Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes?
Oh yeah.
His first appearance as Yellow Jacket in that one was where he was being a bad guy or a bad-ish guy.
Isn't that the Yellow Jacket character though, like in comics too, or am I wrong?
Yeah, I can't quote any particular runs, but it's a pretty storied thing in Hank Pym's character that he takes up the mantle of Yellow Jacket, and sometimes can be classified as more of an anti-hero with less than savory tactics, and then there's other times where he's just a straight-up deranged villain like we saw here. Mm. But yeah, Earth's Mightiest Heroes definitely does a great job of encapsulating like the classic Avengers story, including Wasp and Ant-Man early on in the proceedings, just like they did in the original comics.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man. So the only other thing I have here is the, you're still pretty spry for a guy with a corner office. Like that line is really well written, but delivered masterfully.
That's Michael Douglas.
I know. Yeah. Just beautiful.
He's an amazing person.
The line I wrote alongside it isn't nearly as eloquent, but I did really appreciate the fact that Samuel L. Jackson was given the opportunity to do what he does best and just like deliver a bunch of one-liners. And during that fight, I don't know if it was, I guess it was supposed to be Nick Fury more so than Loki, but when Hank Pym said you didn't care about her, he's like, I don't give a damn about any of them.
Yeah. Yeah. That was
so good.
Pretty great.
I was like, excuse you? Oh, I know what's going on here.
Hold on to your butts.
It took a minute for me. It took longer than Matt, I think, because I was like, what? He is pretty spry, huh?
Well, yeah, and when he said I don't give a damn about any of them, I was like, oh, that's clear, that's definitely Loki. I was like, it's somebody else, and I was trying to figure out, like, could be a Skrull. We saw the pager. I was like thinking that maybe, and then when he said I don't give a damn about any of them, I was like, yeah, that's definitely Loki.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
I just to check with the chat, I'm going to read a couple sight unseen comments here. We got Omer in the chat says, my initial thought for the episode was, what if each Avenger was killed by his first villain?
Oh, God.
So the episode opens on a quick montage of Tony crushed by Ironmonger, Thor by that armored dude, and Steve by Red Skull. Yeah, that's pretty
fun. Destroyer.
Yeah, that's pretty fun. Court OB says there was a lot more fill in the gaps going on. I had to feel like you'd have to know the relationships, personalities in order to get in. Yeah, I think that's very true about this episode.
Yep.
This more than the others was like jump all over the place. You kind of have to know what's going on. You have to like be able to get certain reference points and stuff to understand what's happening.
Basically, you have to be a listener to this podcast.
Well, it's kind of what I said about the episode too, and these particular movies that they decided to focus in on. A lot of times they are lesser celebrated, and part of the reason I love them so much, especially Iron Man 2, it does so much world building for the MCU. That's why it's such a ripe time period to do something like this and explore the rippling ramifications of what if.
Well, also, speaking of like the ramifications
and
all this connected stuff, like, this is a reference to Fury's Big Week, which is a comic book.
Yeah, you know? It was the prelude comic to the Avengers.
Yeah, there's a comic book called Fury's Big Week, and it shows that all three of these movies happen in the same week. And like,
oh, okay,
that's why this episode was like Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah, that's right. Literally Wednesday. A reference to Fury's Big Week, like those big. So that's so cool that this is a kind of a. This is a what if about that comic book, which is crazy.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Makes me want to go read that comic book all the more.
Let's do it.
Let's go
read it again right now.
Right now. We'll see you guys later. We're not going to do trivia. We're just going to go read a comic
book. Bye.
No, we're about to go into trivia, but thank you guys for joining us. Jay Scotty, tell them where they can find your Animation Deliberation podcast, where you're covering What If right now.
Yeah, if you're digging What If and animated action series are your things, join us every week where we do a more deep dive, comprehensive breakdown of these episodes of What If. It's myself, my co-host Suhair. We'll normally get one of the pandas of the Stranded Panda Network to appear with us, and it's just a lot of fun. This is a great time to be a fan of animated action content, so wherever you find your podcast, Animation Deliberations, the podcast that takes action animation and cartoons seriously, but not too seriously. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, dude, thanks for being here. I've actually thinking about your cast and animation in general, because like, I think when COVID hit, movies were the first thing to go, like, because they couldn't hit theaters. And so we had to live on TV shows that were already in the can. Like, they kept going for a little while longer. And then animation takes longer to produce. So all the stuff that had already been written and produced for animation is now hitting, like, it's now been animated and is now hitting the screens. So it's kind of funny. Right. Like, we're going through kind of a renaissance of animation, because there's just so many shows that are hitting that probably were started production before COVID started, and all the shutdowns, sort of like, we're just getting the rolling out content, and we just hope that other things come back before we run out of animated things.
draw faster.
Yeah, you can all be done remotely. I mean, people can just, you know, do their vocal performances and send those in, and then it's just up to the animators. It doesn't require to be on a set. And again, while I'm just talking about animation, it's one of my favorite things about animation is just it's only limited by the creator's imaginations.
Like, yeah,
the camera can go anywhere. You can embrace any kind of style. It's just, I love it so much. So it's great to see the Marvel Cinematic Universe embrace it.
That is absolutely true. Absolutely true. Well, Jay Scotty, thank you for joining us, and we'll be back soon. If you have not yet voted and you get that email, go vote for us on the podcast awards. What's that link, Jeff?
I mean, it's going to be in the email, but
that's true.
Podcastawards.com.
That's true. Yeah, they should get an email. You can only vote if you nominated. So they'll send you an email. If you've been selected in the nomination process. So go vote for MCU cast in the TV and film. I cannot believe we've been selected for that. It's a huge honor. So thank you guys for nominating us.
Well deserved.
Thanks, Jay Scotty.
Get your lips off my ass, Jay Scotty.
Until next time, true believers.
What if Matt said it?
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.